Hello and welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I am your hostess, Natalie Ross, and as always, I am so grateful to be here with you all, bringing our amazing guest this week, Bloom Post, to your ears, to your heart, and to your mind. And I hope that this episode will encourage you to truly take that next step and reach out for or ask for or find that guidance and support you need from someone else to help you move through whatever it is you're in right now. Because seriously, y'all, I cannot say this enough. Reaching out to someone else and getting help from them, from a specialist or a trusted advisor, mentor, teacher, elder, someone who can really help support you, is going to be key to your healing and expansive spiritual journey. And before we get started with our show, I want to say a huge welcome and thank you to our latest Patreon supporters. Thank you, Melissa Torin, and thank you, Caitlin Fogarty. I am so grateful for your support for producing this show, as are all of the listeners who benefit from and enjoy this show. And I also want to say a big thank you and shout out to some of the people who have recently reviewed the show on iTunes. Thank you so much, Young Yentl, for your review. And I love your title, one of the wokest podcasts in the galaxy, 5 stars. You're amazing. Thank you. And thank you, Strawberry Moon. Thank you so much for your review. And thank you, Denise CS. Thank you for your review. And thank you, Silva Ashley, for your review. I'm going to read Silva's because I really enjoyed it, and it's short and sweet here. It says, I truly enjoy listening to your podcast. It's opened my eyes and ears to realities I thought only existed in fantasy, and has given me confidence to open up about memories I kept to myself or forgot, things I used to do. Please keep sharing the wealth of knowledge of these individuals and what they share with the world. I will keep doing that, Silva Ashley. Thank you all so much for your reviews. They really light up my life and my heart to know that someone out there is receiving medicine and beauty from these shows. So thank you so much. And one little thing. I am creating a new show called the Self-Care Club Podcast, which is going to be, of course, all about self-care. Self-care isn't always exactly what you think it is, and I'm going to open the doors and open your eyes and ears to what self-care looks like for a diverse group of people, because I really want to share how different and unique self-care can be for each person, yet how there are underlying threads that connect all of our different approaches to how we maintain our energy, our clarity, and our connection to our truth so that we can go out and actually contribute to the collective and to the world and share our gifts in ways that are regenerative and rejuvenating. So I am putting together a pilot episode, which I will put in this Dream Freedom Beauty podcast stream. So stay tuned for that. And I would love your feedback. I will give you all the details of how you can give me feedback on that pilot episode. And I welcome all of whatever you want to say. This show is for you all, and it's for us. It's for this community and this collective as we deepen our roots and expand our branches high into the sky and into the stars so that we can really be the change we want to be, so we can really be rooted, nourished, and fed so that we can come to our jobs and to those gifts that we bring to others and truly nourish and feed others. So stay tuned for that pilot episode of the Self-Care Club podcast. And until then, if you're interested, I'll be offering ad spaces on that show. So you can go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/ads, A-D-S, to get an idea of what the ad packages are. If you want to reach an aligned, awoke audience with your service and gift, this is the place to do it. And now for our show. Welcome back to the show, Bloom.
Thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm excited to welcome you back. And I love, you know, just for listeners so they know a little bit of background, I've met Bloom and sat with her in a couple of different ceremonies. And so it's really fun. I love her. Her medicine is a way of grace and ease. And we're going to have I just know we're going to have so much fun getting into plant spirit medicines and grace and ease and integration and all the things we're going to talk about today. So I'm super, super stoked for this. And Bloom, would you like to lead us in an invocation to create the space for this conversation?
Yes, I would be happy to.
All right.
So let's take a moment and just breathe into your bellies. If you'd like, if you're able, you can close your eyes and just relax, breathe into your belly to ground your energy, reconnect with your body. As I invoke the pillars of this temple, all the way through to your temple space, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael in the center, Sandalphon above, and Metatron below. Activating this temple grid space so that we are in medicine world. Breathing into your belly. Everything is welcome in medicine world as pure love and pure medicine. Gracias Apukuna, gracias Nustakuna. Apukuna de Appalachia, Apukuna de Great Smokies, Apukuna de Blue Ridge, Apukuna de Seven Sisters, Nustakuna, Nusta Flat Creek, Nusta Nantahala, Nusta Laurel, Nusta French Broad. Gracias, ancestors. Gracias, Pachamama, Mama Cocha, Waira Cocha, Inti Taita, Kuichi. Gracias las plantas, las flores, los árboles. Gracias ayahuasca, ichacruna. Gracias cacao, tobacco, mapacho, cingaro. Huachuma, San Pedro. Thank you to our plant teachers. Thank you to our flower family, our tree tribe. Thank you to the celestial realms. Thank you, star beings, archangels, lightning beings. Thank you to the Minari who support and assist in psychic and energetic surgeries, doctors, healers in the realms. Thank you to the winged ones, the four-leggeds, the insect kingdom, reptile kingdom, and the beings that live in the waters. Thank you to our teachers, our guides in the seen and unseen realms. We invoke your wisdom and your support today. We invoke clarity, tangible connection with all of our guides. As you breathe into your belly, you can see and feel your guides circling up around you right where you are in your own personal medicine world. And allow yourself to send energetic roots down into the earth, into Pachamama, just like a great tree. Send those energetic roots into the earth to be stabilized and held, supported, nourished, nurtured. Breathe into your belly. And just allow any hucha, any stuck energy to flow down through those energetic roots into the earth to feed Pachamama. She loves to eat the hucha. Any challenges, any stresses, any worries, just flow those down into the earth. And as you breathe gently into your belly, allow Pachamama to flow nourishing energy back up into you through those roots. Sacred reciprocity, Aini. A flow of giving and receiving between you and the earth. As you ground your energy and connect with your guides, however you see them or feel them, is perfect. And just allow them to flow supportive healing energy into your physical form to be received with grace and ease. Setting the intention that we are open, willing, receptive. And breathing into your bellies. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. And I set a special intention today that Natalie and I may be hollow bones, hollow reeds, messengers of spirit, bringing to each of you exactly what you need in perfect divine time with grace and ease throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms. So be it, it is so. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you. And, you know, to anyone who really resonated with that invocation, that's something that you could listen to on a daily or regular basis to sort of connect in and clear and really get grounded and centered if you are in need of some sort of guided centering practice. That's something I think would be a great tool. You could just re-listen to the beginning of this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's so much free medicine all over the place if you just know where to,
yep,
if you're just willing to open your eyes and receive it. Thank you. So I am excited to have you back on the show for a lot of reasons, but one of them is your approach to healing is fueled by the intention of and rooted in grace and ease. And I know that on my own journey, this has been something I've had to learn how to welcome, because those peak moments and flashes and the big moments are always what felt like, yeah, this is how stuff is changing. This is how, oh my gosh, it hurts so bad. Or, oh my gosh, this is so great. Like those really contrasted peak experiences are what I thought healing had to be for a long time. And as I've gotten older and honestly more integrated, like, oh my gosh, grace and ease is the way. I, you know, the peak moments still come, but it's all about that integration. So I really am excited to amplify the how you carry that medicine and the message you bring with the work you do.
Yay, thank you. And let me just apologize at the beginning. I just got back from Peru very recently, and being at about 12,000 feet for weeks on end, I'm still integrating into not being at that altitude. So I'm coughing quite a bit, even though I'm perfectly healthy. My lungs are still integrating. coming back from the altitude and also the dust and, you know, the cobblestone roads. So like that. You might hear me do that a few times throughout the interview, and I'll just go ahead and apologize up front to anybody, but and let you know that I'm perfectly healthy. It's just the physical integration. I finally got used to the altitude, and now I'm back. And yes, bringing in that grace and ease is a huge piece, even within that physical shift of literally being at that high altitude where the brain feels so clear and giddy and joyful because we have very little oxygen. And then coming back to the mountains, and even though I'm at about 2,500 feet, which is not sea level, but it's still not 12,500 feet, and integrating back into the space into very different energies, very different mountains. And my work is very much based around being grounded and staying embodied during the practice. For those who have not worked with me or have not met me, I grew up as a very sensitive, highly sensitive empath who felt increasingly overwhelmed as I was growing up. Everything, I was a sponge and everything felt like it was just coming straight into me, and I didn't know how to work with it. And I didn't have parents who understood what was happening. And so they didn't know how to get me the support I needed, because shamanism and energy and empath and intuitive and psychic and things like that really weren't on their radar. So I didn't have a lot of support as a child as far as my sensitivities and my empathic gifts. And so you can learn more, a little bit more about how that panned out for me if you watch my TED talk. I did a TEDx Asheville talk last year, which you can find on YouTube. And I talk about how being sensitive and open eventually led me to, you know, end up in a psychiatric ward because I was just completely overwhelmed. And in the shamanic world, that would be the awakening of a healer, not the, you know, the loss of a mind as we perceive it here in the West. It's the birth of a healer. And so, you know, that was 18 years ago when I, when that happened. And right after that, I met my first teacher, who I consider to be a shaman. And I learned for the first decade or so, very similar to how most people learn, which is very much based in the way society is set up, which is go, 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 do, 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 peak experiences, you know, drama, drama, drama. And even the peak experiences are very dramatic, and that's drama.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and we love that. We're kind of addicted to that.
Oh, yeah.
Our whole world is based in that. You can't have a book or a TV show or a song or anything, because if there's no drama, then why would people watch? Seems is kind of the prevailing attitude, right? You need some sort of twist to get people interested and intrigued. And so there's this real unconscious attachment or even addiction to drama. And that can feed into our spiritual practices without realizing it. People don't realize it. And so it's not anybody's fault. I'm just saying it's often unconscious that people really do want to jump from mountaintop experience to mountaintop experience. And so they're often drawn to things that will bring that to them. This doesn't just happen in the spiritual world. This happens in the world at large, in all things. So for me, I did that. And I did a lot of those peak experiences and was doing that route because that's how I was trained. And I too thought those were great, because it's awesome to feel that kind of moment, you know, where your whole life shifts.
I mean, it's a high.
It's totally a high for sure. And what I realized was that I did not have any support integrating it after the fact. And I really needed that. And it could, there were times when it was really, really hard, which fortunately, because my whole life is devoted to this journey, to this walk, I had the space and time, or made the space and time really, to learn from it and have those experiences be initiations that would catapult me forward and level me up in a positive and supportive way. But for people who have got to go back to their day job and aren't able or even aware of how to integrate it, that support isn't there for them. And the support really wasn't there for me either. And so over the years, I realized that that is missing. And we, the whole point for me of doing any ceremony is to empower ourselves to chop wood and carry water. you know, to be in those places in the valleys between those peak experiences in a more loving way, in a more open way, to wake up in the dream, to detach, disconnect, unplug from the matrix, so to speak. And so when I sit with people in ceremony, when I'm leading the ceremonies, the way I do it, it's very much about being able to integrate the experience in such a way that they can then take it into their lives. If we can't take that peak experience in our day-to-day life, then why are we doing it? You know? And so that became really important to me, and that shifted the way I teach and lead ceremony and train and work with people. And I really do believe that a lot of this can be done with grace and ease. I've had initiations. I've done the warrior way. I get why that's necessary, and I appreciate how we can learn from that. And I also feel that the grace and ease has been lost. There's been a real patriarchal push, and this more feminine grace and ease is just as powerful and can be more easily integrated. And so I really do like a balance of both. I mean, I can be hardcore. Ask any of my apprentices. they'll tell you, they say, oh, she just went into Mama Bloom. Cause I get tough love sometimes. This is not a game for me. At the same time, if we're not having fun, what are we doing? You know? So I feel it's a balance, and the feminine energy is really coming back in. And I really do believe it's about balance. You know, we need the feminine vibration as well as the masculine vibration, and that sense of powerful transformation with grace and ease. I really believe that they can go hand in hand. I've experienced it. I see it in ceremony all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's listening who wants to know more about Bloom can listen to episode 30 and also her TED Talk. And there's also, I think, on episode 30's show notes, a link to another interview you did that was a really excellent background on your experience. You get really deep into your experience in those interviews, and I'll link to those in these show notes as well. But do you find, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I find that sometimes all that's needed in order to approach a situation or experience with grace and ease is to remember to invoke grace and ease.
Oh, heck yes. Oh, totally. Because often in ceremony, I will be working with someone and I will invoke grace and ease, and then I'll remind them, only if you want that. You know, You can certainly invoke initiations out the wazoo if you want, you know, and that's one way to get it. If you want to hardcore warrior way your way through it, power push through it, rock on. Good luck. Let me know how that goes. And if I can be of support when you're ready to breathe a minute, that's great too. I'm not poo-pooing however anybody wants to do it. It's all about free will. And a lot of times, I would say 99% of the time, people will say to me, wow, as soon as I remembered to invoke grace and ease, I was able to breathe again. Everything just relaxed. And then I was able to really be with the experience, be with the process, and not be so afraid. The fear piece and that remembering, as you said, I call it sacred remembering. And that sacred remembering that helps us to not, it doesn't mean we don't have fear. At the same time, we're not afraid in a way that we stop and that we hold ourselves back and we resist. And so, yes, it's just as easy as saying with grace and ease. Even if you're just saying, I choose to have my Tuesday be with grace and ease. That simple. You don't have to sit at your altar for an hour and a half and invoke grace and ease. You can just be in your car driving to work and say, I invoke grace and ease on my car ride to work, and see how it shifts, because your vibration shifts when you set that intention. We walk around unconsciously invoking all the time. Oh, I'm late. Oh, I'm stressed. Oh, darn red light. Oh, stupid driver pulled out in front of me, you know, and then we're putting out that vibration. And we get more and more of exactly what we're putting out. I mean, I'm sure everybody listening has had that experience where as soon as you're frustrated, you catch every red light, right?
Oh, I've had an experience where as soon as we were frustrated driving, we got hit by a deer that came out of literally like nowhere.
Oh my gosh, and talk
Right.
about.
It's like, oh, I gotta keep my energy on point.
Yeah, reminder of grace and ease. And it's not, I don't want to have people feel like, oh no, if I don't keep my energy clear, bad things will happen. That's not the case
Right.
at all. It's not a fear-based thing. You just had a beautiful moment of instant karma right there,
Yes.
that deer medicine. And in my world,
And
I was.
it was a build up to a situation that I had been aware of, that I was like, this, we can chill this out, and I escalated it. So I will admit that I knew I was taking it there, and it was that instant karma.
And that deer, the way I would track that energy is that deer actually gave its life to
Yeah.
get attention. And we want to honor that. We want to honor that that animal gave its life to get your attention and to bring its totem medicine to you as a messenger and really pay attention, especially when they give their lives to do it.
It's amazing. That's just, I'm getting so many chills because it really, that's what I feel happened too. And every time I get in the car to drive, I remember that. And it also is infiltrated into like my relationships and my daily life. I mean, that was a peak moment that's been integrated into my life with grace and ease for years now.
And that's a beautiful example of living your life as ceremony. And living your life as ceremony really goes back to what I was just speaking to about when we unconsciously invoke and create a vibration all the time. So if you start your day with, I choose to experience grace and ease today, you are consciously creating your vibration in such a way to have a different experience. And you will feel the physical shifts, and that's life as ceremony. That's chop wood, carry water in a spiritual space. It's that simple. It's really bringing all the beautiful elements of a practice into daily life. And so I personally find that when I have a daily practice, it supports me in remembering to bring it into my daily life. And remembering to bring it into my daily life supports my daily practice. So it's a really beautiful balance there.
Awesome. That's just, yeah, it's feeding, each aspect feeds the other aspect, and that's regenerative too, I would say. Well, I think that was a very, I hope that was an illuminating perspective for people, either as an introduction or as a reminder for life as ceremony, and for how much choice you have in invoking the sort of template for your day, for the way that the energies you're inviting in, and how that integration looks in everyday life. I feel like we just kind of laid it all out there in a nice, concise little package. Of course, we could go deep. I feel like this is a topic that could just go on and on and on because it is so powerful, because it is those everyday moments. But something I
And,
really, oh, go ahead.
well, in all fairness, it's easy for us to say, oh, just remember to invoke grace and ease and all of that. And everybody can feel the truth in that. At the same time, I do honor and acknowledge that people have experiences in their day that will trigger them, get them feeling like they're not in alignment. And that's where having consistent support comes in. And so
Key.
that's where the tools that I teach and share, and we'll probably get into this later, but the mentorship program that I offer online, and when I sit with people in private sessions, and even the ceremonies, everything that I do, everything that I offer, even cacao ceremony is training. Even though it may not look like that, I may not put it out there in the world as a training ceremony. It's all about something that I believe you mentioned before we even started recording is just paying attention and remembering, because there's always the opportunity to receive medicine. So every time I share something, it's about empowering people to remember and giving them tools, because it's one thing and first thing in the morning to say, I invoke grace and ease, and then you get to work and maybe your boss is a schmuck, or somebody spills their coffee on your shirt, or whatever. There's all sorts of things that can get us triggered. And sometimes people are just in initiations for months or years and can't seem to find a way out. And so, to me, that's why, I mean, I go sit with someone every month, and I have for years. And it's important to have a support team. And one of the things I work with people is to have a support team in the realms. An unseen support team that's always there to be of support when the humans in your world don't seem to be able to show up or just can't show up in the way that you need. And so, you know, it really is important to have tools and practices that support so that when we do get triggered and it doesn't feel as easy to say, I call in grace and ease, or we can't seem to get with that energy. And I get that some people listening might be in that space. And so it sounds a little pie in the sky to just say, I invoke grace and ease. At the same time, even if you're gritting your teeth and crying your eyes out, if you just keep invoking grace and ease, things will shift. But I do share tools and dive into that much more deeply when I work with people, because we have so much support in what people consider the unseen realms that can help us. It's just incredible.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because something that I just can't even stand behind enough, I mean, 1,000%, is that each of us asks for and accepts and receives and searches out the support we need to make it through the initiations, to stop going down those vortices of despair or whatever might be getting you stuck, or the triggers or whatever it is. I just have to reflect back on that, because you know, I wouldn't be here doing this work I do without the support I have. And I sit with people every week. I sit with a circle of sisters every week. I call my support people every week. It's like, this is not an option. And even if you don't think you can afford it, dear listener, you can find a way. There are sliding scales. There's barter. There's people who are willing to help you for free even, or you can help clean someone's house. I mean, I've done all of that. It's whatever it takes for you to get the support that is worth everything. I just can't say it enough.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And a big piece of that not being able to support it is that once we let the universe know, I'm willing to scrape up every penny and do this thing that's going to shift things for me, then the flow starts to shift for us. Yeah. I can't tell you how many students who, when they first started with me, said they couldn't afford it. They found a way to just do, you know, one session, or they found a way to sign up for the mentorship that I have online, which is incredibly affordable, and things have shifted for them. I'm actually going to be putting together an online course around prosperity and abundance, because it's really not about money. At the same time, people get so tripped up on the energy of money, especially in spiritual circles. Yeah. And working with the Munari, who I mentioned when I invoked at the beginning, the support for us today, the Munari are beings that I work with in the realms who assisted me in stepping out of leveling up and shifting my energy around money and finances, prosperity, abundance. And it was really a huge self-worth piece, as well as being willing to quote unquote succeed in order to support others in doing the same. And so it's much bigger than money, and money is the place where a lot of people get tripped up. So my experience has been that the more I do my soul work, everything else levels up, including my financial experience. It all levels up. And it's really, for me, more about feeling content and supported. And so my finances reflect that sense of contentment and support. It's not about the dollar amount, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I do agree that it feels really important to find that space to connect with others and receive that support. A lot of people need to work through crises, like a lot of, you know, they show up for a session
the initiations.
Yeah, and they're in crisis. But after a while, I do want to promise everyone from personal experience that eventually you get past the crisis mode and everything starts to level up. So now when I go sit with a dear sister that I work with, and we worked together in Peru when I was there most recently, and I don't show up in crisis mode. I show up and get to have fun and dive deeper into things that I wouldn't have been able to dive into if I only went back in the day when I was in crisis mode. It's really about a consistent practice, because sometimes people will only come sit with me when they're in crisis mode. So all we get to do is work on their crisis. Mm-hmm. And if people can find someone to sit with consistently and do consistent work, then you end up getting out of those crisis modes and into some really deep, fun stuff, some of which is shadow, some of which is light, and it's all really amazing.
Yes, love it. I feel like we're in an infomercial for like, get your support now, but it's so true. Like, whether it's through Bloom or whether it's through someone, an elder in your community or a teacher or someone online, whoever you resonate with, do your background checks, you know, like make sure you really scope it out for the discernment and integrity, but get those teachers. Like, that's that's it. Like, that's my message today. That's Bloom's, or like, go get those teachers and support, because yes, there are beyond that. I had that same experience of the crises of going those initiations through crises and then realizing, oh my gosh, they do kind of chill out, they simmer down at some point, and a whole new world opens up, a world I didn't even know that I didn't know about.
And even just a regular practice for people who do yoga or meditate or shamanic practices, it's the consistency, you know, and and like you said, I don't care who they sit with. I'm not trying to do an infomercial for me. I'm doing an infomercial for your soul, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, but one of the reasons I did start this online mentorship was because, well, one, a lot of people don't live in Asheville and wanted to be able to sit with me regularly. And two, I wanted to make it affordable so that people could, because we gather every other week online on a live webinar. So it's that consistency that creates such deep shifts. I have these people who come sit with me once a year on their birthday or something, which is so beautiful and so sweet. And every year it feels like we're kind of talking about the same thing because I only see them once a year. So the movement doesn't happen as quickly as they would like. And so for people who are really ready to create some shifts, consistency is key. Whatever your practice is, it's really about consistency. If you meditated 5 minutes a day for the next 20 years, that is a powerful practice, as opposed to maybe once a month for like an hour, because then you're starting over again every month, you know? So it's not about how long you do it or how well you do it or if it, you know, works the way the collective thinks it should be done. It's about consistency. And that's the integration piece. And that's the grace and ease. If you can meditate 5 minutes a day for the next year and a half, wow, even for the next month, you're going to feel a difference. So be easy with yourselves. I feel like a lot of people try to run a marathon spiritually just to, you know, believing that, you know, no pain, no gain. And that is not the truth. That's not my truth. You know, that is not how it needs to work. There can be grace and ease, and the consistency can bring that.
Right. And no judgment if you are in pain. I mean, that's, you know, often an initiation too, and a gateway into opening to other ways of experiencing reality.
Oh, I mean, heck yes. I mean, I've been through lots of initiations, and I have been through lots of pain and intense experiences. Now the initiations come, I have a different way of being with them. I'm more grounded and in my body and in a consistent practice so that I don't spiral out, so that I can see, I can be with the waves of energy that are coming, and I can surf them, or I can hold my ground in such a way that I can be with it and integrate it instead of being in resistance to it. So it's not that the initiations stop. The leveling up is very exciting, and it's always happening. It's how we are with it. And I spent the first part of my life in a lot of pain. I have a lot of compassion for people who are having whatever experience they're having. I'm simply intending to share that in my experience, getting that support and having consistent support can help shift that.
I love this. I'm just so glad we're talking about this, because I feel like every week I'm responding to emails from people that's like, my message is, do you have someone that you go to see for support? And I'm like, okay, here it is. Now I can send them this episode and everything. Just be like, get your support. So thank you.
And you do, like you said, you want to find somebody, each person wants to find someone who resonates for them. Right. Some people really resonate with me and they just love what I do. And some people may not. And that's okay. I'm not here to work with every human on the planet. That's why we have different teachers and different schools of thought and different ways of doing it. So yeah, I really believe in finding someone who resonates for you, who can hold space in a compassionate way, but also empower you to be grounded and push you out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, so that you can level up. And the grounded piece is what's most important to me, especially with plant spirit medicines and ceremonies and the work, the kind of work that we're doing. My experience is that the entire planet has PTSD. The entire planet really is in need of soul retrieval and getting more fully grounded and embodied. And so for me, the way I work is let's embody this, truly remember and embody this so that we live our divine experience in this human form. There are so many people who find it so challenging to be in human form, even if that's not the way they would phrase it. And some people listening are like, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And so especially my beautiful empaths out there listening, and those who feel a real connection with the fairy kingdom, which is usually a lot of people who are into plant medicine, love the forest kingdom and the fairy kingdom and the empaths and the intuitives. And those of you who are super sensitive, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about how challenging it can feel to be in this 3D human experience. So a big piece of the work that I do with people is empowering them to fully embody with grace and ease and really enjoy this human experience, because I know the first half of my life was not enjoying this human experience. And it was only because I felt so overwhelmed by all of the energy of the collective. And being an empath is very, at least on my Facebook newsfeed, it's very trendy right now for people to say, I'm an empath, so this is why, you know, you need to treat me this way, or this is why things are like this for me. And I hear that. At the same time, the very first shaman I studied with said to me, empath is level one. You've got to move beyond empath so that you can be proactive with your gifts. And so empathy, empath is where people start. And then we get to learn and level up and learn how to work with these sensitivities and be proactive with these beautiful gifts of being empathic and intuitive and sensitive and psychic. And so that's really important to me, to work with people who feel overwhelmed by all the energy coming at them, to learn how to work with it so it can be a gift and not feel overwhelming.
I love that your teacher said it was level one. That's so awesome. The, like, okay, this is the, like, kindergarten, like, get this down, and then you kind of graduate.
I think he did actually say it was kindergarten. I was choosing to use a different phrase because I didn't want to offend anybody, because when I say to people sometimes, yeah, that's kindergarten, we got to keep moving on, then sometimes my beautiful empath people are like, ah, but that's so condescending. And it's like, no, it's not condescending at all. It's about spiritual maturity, you know, and it really is the beginning. It's not meant to be, oh, I'm an empath, so this is the way my life's going to be. I'm always going to suffer and not be able to function in this world. Because that's what I used to think back in the day before I met this teacher. I really thought I would not be able to function in this world the way everybody else seemed so able to function. They, you know, they all seemed so able to handle it. And I had so much psychic and intuitive information coming at me, and I was feeling all the feels all the time. And so I really do have a lot of compassion for it. And I'm not trying to be condescending at all. My first shamanic teacher did say, that's kindergarten, you need to graduate, you know, and he was a little more hardcore about it. And it really is, to me, it's a place where once you realize you're an empath, then what? I want people to know they're not stuck having to take on everybody else's stuff. And it's actually the opening of beautiful spiritual gifts, beautiful gifts that they can work with in their daily life, regardless of what you do for a living and regardless of what your situation is. So
yeah,
I wanted to share that.
I feel like there's a collective sigh of relief and validation of being seen and felt as empaths. And I, just to keep going on this, because it is so trendy, and because I've been there too. I feel like one of the steps to graduating from that kindergarten is stepping out of the victimization role of the victim, rescuer, perpetrator, or persecutor role triangle, and realizing you are, you know, because you mentioned, oh, I'm an empath and this is how you should treat me because I'm an empath. It's like, actually, nobody's going, you know, maybe your personal relationships will be willing to honor your requests, but the world is just going to keep doing what it does as we, you know, we evolve it through our actions and our activism and our responses. But mm-hmm. it's up to you to empower yourself in that respect of being able to create those energetic boundaries and how to be grounded and rooted and centered. And that in order to really embrace that, you have to move beyond the victimization of yourself as an empath.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, you nailed it right on the head there. It is very much, it's an unconscious victimhood though. And so I really have a lot of compassion right. because right. just like you said, I've been there too.
Yeah.
Where I was completely in my victimhood and just thought I was losing my mind and
sucks.
Oh, it sucks so much.
Yeah.
And that's when I found my first teacher to begin studying with. And I didn't even know I was studying with him. I just went and sat with him every month and ended up, you know, studying through doing that, through receiving support. But yes, it's, to me, it's similar to past lives when people say to me, oh, I was such and such in a past life, so that's why I'm like this today. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe you were that person in a past life. It's not an excuse to behave a certain way today. That's an unconscious victim energy too, because a big piece, I would say the number one piece of the way I work with people is about personal responsibility. It is about taking personal responsibility. So when I work with people and lead ceremonies and all the stuff we've been talking about, that's what I'm talking about when I say I give them the tools. They get to take it and make it their own. They get to work with these tools and continue the practice beyond what we do together, which is a big piece in personal responsibility, because each person is the medicine. Mm. Each person has the gifts and the tools within themselves to do these things we're talking about, to be in awareness, to walk a spiritual path, whatever that looks like for you. So yes, there's definitely that unconscious victim place that people feel, which totally makes sense. As an empath, you're going to feel like everything's just, you're a sponge and everything's just coming into you. Of course you're going to feel like a victim to that.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And so this conversation is simply a loving, gentle push into awareness of, oh, I don't have to be a victim to this. I can shift this. And that's where the receiving support begins, because I personally was not able to do it on my own. I need someone who was able to hold a mirror and say, here's what I see in you. Let me empower you to remember who you truly are. Let me support you in tapping in with your gifts so that this doesn't feel like a curse, but this can be a gift. Because I felt so cursed by all of my gifts, all of my empathic awareness, all of my intuitive abilities, because I felt so overwhelmed. And working with that first shaman, he was able to show me how these were actually gifts and could support me and be of support to others and open up my whole world. Now, I'm someone who felt called to continue to make this my whole life, but it doesn't mean you have to make this your whole life to still step into all those gifts.
Right.
It will simply open up more spaciousness in the life that you already have. It will bring balance and harmony and peace and more contentment and soul fulfillment, regardless of where you live and what you do and who you are, because you're not overwhelmed any longer.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just reflect that, because I feel like there's such a stigma around if you can't do it yourself, there's something wrong with you. I just want to reflect that and add that I could not do it myself either. And that's why I just am so into sharing with people, go get support. There's nothing wrong with you if you can't do it yourself. Like, that's, I know I'm harping on this, but I feel like I got to say 1,000 times to get through sometimes.
Well, and for those who've watched my TED talk, I mention in there, don't go to the post office for milk. Sometimes people go to get support from people who just can't bring them what they need.
Yeah.
So That's why it's important to find someone that can have those conversations with you. You know, if you want to go see a counselor, find a counselor who can talk to you about those things that are a little outside the typical counselor conversation. If you want shamanic support, go find someone who can do the shamanic work so they can talk to you about these experiences you're having that might sound really odd to other people. You know, there's people who can hear what you're dealing with and what you're working with and who've been there and who understand. Whereas if you try to talk to other people, they may not get it. And that's okay. That's not their fault. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just don't go to the post office for milk. Find the people who can, you know, who can understand. And I have people, I even have parents who bring their kids to come sit with me because the kids are having these super open empathic experiences and are feeling overwhelmed. And the parents say, I don't know how to walk them through this, but they talk about stuff that you seem to get. Wow. I'm like, great, you know, let's do this. And so that's what I mean by find the people who understand, because a lot of these parents even understand that they don't get the full experience that their child is having, and their child needs someone who is totally open to this psychic, empathic, intuitive experience they're having. So it's with kids, adults, across the board, find someone who can relate to what you're sharing. You deserve to feel supported in that process, not shut down.
This is great. Thank you for sharing all these insights and perspectives, because I feel like they just shed light on a lot of the confusion or shame that people might be feeling around these kind of issues. So thank you.
Yeah.
So Bloom, this conversation I know has definitely been illuminating for people who are in the places that we've been talking about and touching on. So thank you. And you have a book coming out called The Plant Spirit Totems, Connecting with the Wisdom of the Plant Kingdom, which is super exciting to me. And I know it's super exciting to a lot of my listeners because they are definitely plant people. Can you share with us what the book's about?
I would love to. And for those who we ended up talking a lot about empaths and intuitive abilities and all of that, I have a book that came out a few years ago called Shaman's Toolbox, and perhaps we can put a link to that as well,
which
will support people who want to learn more about connecting in with guides and really how to do that work in a way that you can do on your own. The book that's coming out now that is in pre-sales, and it's officially out September 15th. So, and I have a wonderful publisher, Earth Songs Press, and you can get the book through them. I'm very excited. Plant Spirit Totems, Connecting with the Wisdom of the Plant Kingdom. And it really, the easiest way I've found to explain it to people, especially if they don't have a lot of plant medicine background, is if you've ever seen those animal totem books where they have a list of the animals alphabetically, and if you want to find out what the shamanic meaning is, you can open it up to that particular animal. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, totally.
Right. So this is the plant version of that. And that was my intention, because it's funny, over the years in all these ceremonies, people will say, oh, I saw this or that plant and or this tree or that flower, and I really want to know what the symbolism is, and I'm working with it as a totem. And they'll ask me for a reference book that they can look through, and I would always say, yeah, somebody really needs to write one. There's not really a good book out there. I literally sat with this idea for 7 years and finally realized nobody's gonna write one. Like, I gotta write it, you know. So I spent over a year and a half shamanic journeying with each of these herbs, flowers, and trees, as well as doing online research about their mythology and how they got their name, where they grow, how they grow, what they grow with, just really the whole spectrum of what each of these plants are about, and channeling and shamanic journeying what to put in the book. So it's a resource. It's a resource that obviously does not have every plant on the planet, or I would be writing for the rest of my life. But there, I kind of feel like it's part one. But there's, you know, 45 or so trees, and then there's a section on flowers, which probably has about 60 plus flowers, and then herbs,
awesome.
50 or 60 herbs. And as you flip through, you'll have keywords, when you connect with a certain plant, what it means, how to set intentions with that plant. and if it's a totem for you, what that means. And so it's a great resource for people who want to start working with plants in an energetic way and working with the spirits of plants. It's a great resource for herbalists who are working with the plants in a very physical, materia medica way and want to bring this aspect in. It's a great resource for people who perhaps don't know a lot about plants and want to learn from a shamanic perspective, for people who'd like to create a deeper relationship with the plants, which I feel is so important, especially as we talk about empowering ourselves and not feeling overwhelmed. Plants really carry the answers. They carry all the answers to whatever your questions are. And there are so many different ways to work with plants. So this is one aspect, working with each spirit of the plants, the trees, flowers, herbs, and working with them as a totem, just as you would with the animal kingdom. And so I've pulled this together over the last almost 2 years and have, thank goodness for it. Talk about receiving support. I put it out there to the universe that I really wanted a publisher, because it's a lot of work to do that back end stuff. And a publisher, actually someone who's in my mentorship program, turns out has a publishing company and is a very respected writer in her own right. That sounded kind of funny to say a writer, right? But she's,
pun intended.
Yeah, pun intended. And so I have a wonderful publisher and very excited. I'll be doing a book signing October 12th in Asheville, North Carolina, for anybody who's in the area. And that will be on my website. And yeah, I'm really excited for this book to come out. It's been a labor of love. It's been like birthing an energy child into the world. I'm not going to compare it to childbirth. I'm just saying it's my baby going into the world. It's really, it's been a long time coming, and now it's here, and I'm very excited to share it with people. It's a great way to really create deeper relationship with the plants, regardless of where you are in your journey with the plant kingdom. It's really available to everybody.
Ooh, sounds good. And just because I'm curious, and I know listeners must be curious too, how would you define or describe what a totem is?
The way I work with totems, regardless of whether it's beings of light, animals, plants, whatever people are working with, for me, a totem is an energy that's always there supporting us and has been there from the beginning and stays with us, working with us consistently. Whereas other energies that come and go, I would call more of an ally. So as an example, I work with bird medicine as a totem. It's been there from the very beginning and it's always with me. Whereas frog medicine will come in as an ally when I need frog medicine support, but it's not always there walking with me. It comes and goes as I need it. And my totems have shifted over the years to a certain extent as I have evolved. Some of them have stayed the same and consistent, but because I walked this journey and have shifted, new totems have arrived. The older paradigm around this is that you have one totem and that's your totem and
that's
it's your
it.
Totem for life. Yeah. And I don't really work that way. That to me is like saying I'm female. Boom. Well, no, I'm a lot of things besides female. So I have a lot of different totems. I have a handful of totems that I work with consistently. I don't feel like I only have one totem. I'm not a one faceted person. You know, I don't just have one facet. I have multifaceted. So
you're like a gemstone.
Oh, yes, we all are. And we all have more than one totem. And then we have allies who come and go. So if somebody is working with deer medicine, as an example, and they've always had deer medicine show up and it's been there with them for years, then that's probably a totem. But then if they have other energies that come and go, so for me, holy basil, tulsi, is one of my totems. It's always with me. It's always been there from the beginning. It's one of my main teachers. Tobacco is one of my primary teachers. Huachuma San Pedro is one of my primary teachers. Ayahuasca is one of my primary teachers. And then I have other plants like calendula is an ally that comes in when I need it. And then isn't, you know, I don't necessarily feel it as palpably when I'm not needing it as much. So it can work in any experience.
Okay. I think that was a good description. I get it, and I think our listeners will get it, that you know it, how it can shift or how it can be, you know, I feel like for me, I've had Fox as a totem, and Fox is sometimes shows up more than other times, but it's always there. I love that. But then sometimes a certain insect or something will come into my life and then it'll kind of go. And I feel, so I get it. I think I get it.
Yeah, that would be more of an ally.
Mm-hmm, that's the ally.
At the same time, in my world, you have more than one totem. So Fox is one totem. It's one facet of your shamanic experience. And you would probably have a couple other totems as well walk with you consistently.
Definitely. Definitely. And I'm curious, in your book, do you, so it sounds like you've described, you know, you've journeyed shamanically to meet these plant spirits and to understand the medicine they offer. I'm curious how your experience of the plant medicine is, will be, or might be the same as, or different from, say, a reader's experience of that plant medicine. Is it universal or is it unique? Go.
It's both and. It's universal and it's unique. So I had planned on writing this book with an herbalism student and had a couple different herbalism students I was trying to write it with, are students of herbalism. I don't teach herbalism, but they were students of mine who are herbalists. And what I realized is that it really is unique to me. I was channeling it through, and that's not something they had the ability to do. It's not something they had learned to do yet. They didn't know how to talk to the plants in that way. So in that aspect, it's unique to me. At the same time, the research, the mythology, all the things that are universal to the plant are part of what empowered, what channeled through from each plant spirit. So I really feel that people who read this book and read about a certain plant will resonate with what they receive because it is universal. At the same time, they will also have their own personal experience with each plant. So if I have a write-up about daisies and they read about daisy because it's been showing up in their life a lot and they want to know what that totem is bringing them, I believe that they'll resonate with what I've shared. At the same time, if you go into the realm's shamanic journey with Daisy, you can also receive your own information of how the plant wants to work with you, which could be a little different or an addition to what's in the book.
Mm, cool. And in the book, do you teach or invite people to do their own journeys to meet the plant spirits? Or is that something that you offer in person, perhaps?
I don't teach that in the book. It's not set
it's
up
like,
to teach
people. Yeah, how do you teach that in a book? I don't know.
Right. It's more of a resource for people who are, and they don't have to journey to use it as a resource. It's just like when you had that experience with the deer, you want to look up and see what deer is about if you didn't already know and be really intentional to work with that. So if someone is having all these experiences where roses keep showing up, or maybe they've always felt an affinity for oak tree or apple trees, and they just want to know more about the spirit totem of that, they can look it up and start working with that intentionally and receive the gifts and the medicine that that plant or tree brings. The mentorship that I offer monthly online is a great way for people to start getting regular support to tap in with plant spirit totems, animal totems, their own personal guides, as well as receive healing and guidance, because that's really something I would prefer to teach live. To teach through doing instead of just talking about it in a book.
Right. And I feel like that's something, you know, I've read books that teach sort of, they describe how to do it. But when you actually have the teacher to help you shift into that paradigm, it's possible to do it without a teacher, but I feel like it's really the support to kind of dial a certain number of how to, you know, how to access this state of being or how to access this shamanic tool or something. And having that teacher really helps.
Right. And because it's something that I do every day and it's my calling on the planet, I'm able to open it up for those who might have a hard time opening it up for themselves so that I can you know, clear those veils so that the person I'm working with is able to more clearly step in. And the mentorship piece is a group mentorship. So there's that added energy of having a whole group journeying together and receiving mm-hmm. support together, which amplifies the energy because you're not alone doing it on your own.
Ah, awesome. Very cool. So we're going to do a secret episode and perhaps go a little deeper into some of the plant stuff and whatever else shows up. But before that, Bloom, can you share with people, we've talked a lot about some of the things you offer, but can you share with them where they can find you and anything else you want to share that you offer?
Sure. The best place to find me is bloompost.com. That's my website. And the book, Plant Spirit Totems, is available on the website, as well as my first book, Shaman's Toolbox, Practical Tools for Powerful Transformation. You can find both of those there. And on the website, you can also find a link to my mentorship course, bloompostmentorship.com, which, as we briefly mentioned, is an online, live, biweekly offering. It's open to everybody, regardless of your experience on this path. And it is a group offering. It's live. It's every other Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And you'll get all the details on bloompostmentorship.com. We also have a private Facebook for the community to connect and support each other and get to know each other better. It's a really, as I mentioned to you before we started this podcast, I really was not sure about sharing in this way online. Mm-hmm. And I've found it to be incredibly supportive. It brings that consistency for people who want to shamanic journey on their own. They will often say to me, it's so much easier when you're there guiding. And so this is an opportunity to have me live with the group every other week so that when somebody feels like they get into a rut or they start to spiral out or they need consistent support, they get to tap back in every 2 weeks. And some of the people in the group are brand new and have never worked with me. And some of the people are students who've trained with me in person. So there's a beautiful mix of community, and it's people from all over the world. It's incredibly affordable for what you get. You get a lot of connection with me, much more individualized and connected time with me than I ever got with a lot of my teachers. And so it's a really great way to get consistent support. I really want to put that on people's radar because I know a lot of people are looking for that consistent support that, like you said, is affordable, where they can also dive in deep and really experience transformation and not just talk about it. So that's something I want to let people know about as well. I do offer cacao ceremonies. Cacao ceremony is every month. I'm also traveling. So if you go to my website, you'll see that I'm in Florida. I'm in Atlanta. I really love to travel wherever people can create a full circle. I'll come bring some good medicine. And I offer other plant medicine ceremonies that I don't post publicly. So when people come to a cacao ceremony, and start working with me or join the mentorship and get to know how I work, then they can learn a little bit more about the other plant medicine ceremonies that are shared privately.
Perfect. Beautiful. And we'll have links to Bloom's website and everything on the show notes page. So it'll all be in one place if you need a little help remembering where to find it. And so thank you so much, Bloom. It's been awesome to have you back. And a funny note, we had you the first time you came on the show. It went live on September 14th, and that was 2016. And this show is live on September 14th, 2017. Totally unplanned, just synchronous.
Oh, that's totally spirit. Divine timing. I love it. Well, I'm really glad to be back. It's really fun to talk to you. And I just love to share about this. It's just my heart. And it's just always, it feeds my soul to have this conversation with you. And I'm excited for the people who will get to listen. And I'm super grateful to have this time together. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much too. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope that this was nourishing. I hope this really helped show you how you can value yourself deeply enough to say yes to getting the support and uplifting connection you need to move through whatever it is you're in right now. And you can get the free secret episode at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret. Go check it out. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I'm making a self-care club podcast, a whole new show. We'll have a pilot episode here in the Dream Freedom Beauty feed. So you can listen to that and give me feedback. And all the details will be included in that pilot episode for how you can give me feedback. And if you are someone who would like to sponsor this new show, then I'm offering ad sponsorship spaces on this new show. You can get my packages at dreamfreedombeauty.com/ads. That's ADS. And just so y'all know, this is not intended to be advertising for the message, you know, the quote, typical advertising of, hey, you're not complete, so buy this thing so you can be complete. No, that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing here is, this is a way to weave the webs of those who are offering their gifts to others so they may reach those people who are like, where are these people that I'm looking for? You know, this is to help connect each other. And this is also an amazing space if you are someone who has a gift you'd like to share with intuitives and healers and people who are working to embody their truth and purpose and live their gifts, then this is the perfect place to offer your service in service to them so those who hear it may resonate with that and get in touch with you. This is all about connecting and weaving this web so we can uplift and support one another in even more amazing ways. And super stoked. Thank you to everyone who's already said yes and got sponsorship spots. I'm so excited to support you. And if this sounds like something you would like to participate in and help sponsor the launch of this show and also reach thousands of people who could be your exact ideal audience, then check out dreamfreedombeauty.com/ads. That's ADS. And if you can't afford it right now or something, you know, this is an ongoing show. So just keep in mind, do a little manifesting and do whatever it takes. You can always buy a sponsorship down the road. Okay, I'll see you all next week and keep an eye out for that pilot episode.